Succession number 17580, Mr. Walter Brazier, Reel 1.
Mr. Brazier, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Brazier?
I was born in Bermondsey, London, on the 19th of the 7th, 1915.
And what did your father do for a living?
I don't remember, he was a builder.
And could you tell us a bit about your early background?
Well, I joined up.
I mean, before you joined up, just your childhood. Where were you? Which school did you go to?
Westbury. Westbury School.
In Bermondsey, is it?
As far as I remember. A long while ago.
Right. So, anything you want to tell us about your background at all?
There's nothing much I can remember about it.
Fair enough. Where were you living when you decided to join up?
Well, I was living in London then with my parents.
And what made you decide to join up?
Like the rest of them, I just want to see the world, I suppose.
So where did you go to sign on?
That was Worley, Brentwood, Essex.
Why there?
Eh?
Why did you go there?
Because that was the nearest recruiting centre.
Now, you went on using your brother's birth certificate. Could you explain what was going on? What happened there? Because you weren't known in the army as Len Brazier, which is your...
No.
You were known as George, weren't you?
That's right.
How did that come about?
That came about because when I went to join the army, I was underage. So I went back again and I took my brother's birth certificate. He was 18 months older than me. I got in.
And... Which regiment were you joining at the time?
Well, that was the depot of the Essex regiment there. But I saw the way they knocked them about there on the barrack square while I was there. I decided, no, I won't join them. I'll join the Norfolk regiment and go abroad, which was Norwich.
Right. Now, do you know the date you joined up?
Yeah, the 7th of February, 1933.
Now, when you got to the... You went to Norwich. Would that be to Britannia Barracks?
Yeah, that's right.
And how did they take you into the regiment? You know, I mean, do you remember being kitted out?
They took me then, they put us in a barrack. Block all those who joined up, and they waited for a number of people to form another squad of 30 men or as they came in, and I was put in the 78th squad.
Do you remember who your sergeant was, or your corporal?
Big Farm?
Do you remember your name of your sergeant or corporal running the squad?
Good God, now, I think the old chap is dead now. He's a fellow named Sergeant Noller.
Noller?
Noller. N-O-L-L-E-R, Noller.
And what was it, when you'd formed the squad, this 78th squad, what kind of backgrounds were the rest of the lads from? Same as yourself, or were there many Norwich lads? Norfolk lads, farming lads.
A lot of them were London and a sprinkling was Norfolk, but there was mainly London chaps.
And what was your barrack room like?
It held 40 men at barrack room, and one had to highly polish the floors every morning, I remember. But it wasn't a bad life, it was a good life, actually.
What was a typical day like? How would your training start? What time would you get up?
We was up at 6:30. Then we'd done 3/4 hour PT.
Then what?
Then one had breakfast.
What was the food like?
Bloody awful.
In what way?
Well, the breakfast consists of rissoles and onions. These rissoles were made of out of the meat that was left from the day before, and that was ground up, put them in, made into what they call rissoles with onions mixed in, then pattered and fried.
And you didn't like them?
No, one got so bloody hungry you had to like them, whether you bought them or not, you had them.
Now, after breakfast, what then? Would you start your training?
It was training, drill and that, yeah.
What about drill? How did you take to basic foot drill, basic drill?
Oh, well, that was all right because I joined the TA before that. So I was used to it.
Which battalion had you been in the TA?
4th Battalion of the Essex Regiment, if I remember correctly.
So you'd learnt your basics there. How long had you been with them?
About 6 months.
So you'd got your basic drill sorted?
Yeah.
Did you like drill?
Yeah.
What did you like about it?
Well, all of it. The army really was my life, you know. I took the army like I'd taken the water.
What about, if we look at your weapons training, how did they teach you to fire a rifle?
How did they teach me?
Yeah.
Well, it was done in bits and pieces. You had the introduction to the rifle and then to the Bren gun, the machine gun.
Would it be the Lewis then?
Big fun?
Wouldn't it be the Lewis in 1933? Lewis gun.
Yes, I went on that, yeah. We used to go to a place called Tregatmel Fort in Cornwall for that.
For Lewis gun training?
Yeah, Lewis gun training.
What did you think of the Lewis gun?
Think of what?
What did you think of it as a weapon?
It was a good weapon. But they've all got their own characteristics that you get used to them.
What were its main characteristics, would you say?
What
were its main characteristics? What stood out about the Lewis as a weapon?
Well, it never let you down. You never got no jams on it, what they call misfires.
And what about the rifle? Were you a good shot?
I was a marksman.
What do you think made you such a good shot?
Well, your eyesight was the main thing.
Now, what other way? Would you do any hand grenade training? Mills bomb?
Oh yeah, you've done that, yeah.
Where would you do that?
That was at the back of the barracks on open ground.
Is that the mouse hold?
Yeah, up on the mouse hold, that's it, yeah, that's the place. Yeah, mouse hold, Heath.
Any other weapons training?
We done weapon training, yeah.
What about, did you practice a bayonet?
Yeah. We've done the bayonet practice, yeah.
Anything else about your training?
No, that I can remember.
And how did you get on with your training instructors and your sergeant?
Oh, very well indeed. I got on all right because I'd been in the TA unit and I knew it, like the rifle drill and everything. I've been all the way through that.
Did you make any special pals in the unit, you know, in the training squad? Any?
Not out of the ordinary.
Now,
just in a normal run of things.
So was it a 6-month training course? Was 78?
Yeah, they were 6 months training course those days, yeah.
So around about August, where were you posted to?
I was posted to the 2nd Battalion at Devonport.
And do you remember which fort or barracks they were in there?
Yes, they're called Raglan Barracks. Raglan Barracks. RAGLAN.
And which company were you put into?
Well, there were no companies then, not on that one. That was the depot. You'd done 6 months of extensive training there at the depot.
No, but I mean at Raglan Barracks.
Raglan Barracks, that's where I was posted to after the depot training there.
Which company were you there?
We didn't have a company as such.
Not our role. Sorry, I didn't understand. Right.
That 78 squad is all I remember.
I mean when you joined the 2nd Battalion at Raglan Barracks. What company were you in the back?
Well, I mean, you let me go back a bit then. I think that was B Company.
Right.
Sure it was.
And you were just joining as a rifleman, were you?
Yeah.
And what did you think of life in... What do you remember anything about your life in Devonport?
All I know that it was a damn good station.
Why?
Well, there were good people there. You'd got on with people there. And there's all much of my... Yeah, all your own age group they put you into. And we used to go on Dartmoor for 6 weeks at a time training.
What kind of training did you do?
Well, there was marching and everything came into it. Map reading and things like that.
Now, you'd taken to the army like a duck to water.
Yeah.
Were you looking for promotion then?
Well, one was always looking for promotion.
Who was your officer in B Company? Or, you know, your company commander, your platoon officers? Do you remember any of them?
I'm just trying to think. I don't know where they'll come. Well, yeah, it might come.
Okay, if it comes back to you. Would some of the better known, there's some quite well known soldiers. I mean, was Fit there? He was in Devonport. I mean, would you know someone like him then?
Well, Fit, yeah. He was in the squad before me. He was in 77 squad. And I was in 78.
What was he like in them days?
Well, him, Fit?
Yes.
Oh, he was all right as far as I'm aware. I wasn't a buddy of his or anything like that.
Did you get involved in sport at all?
No, that's one thing. I never ever got involved in a sport. No, I never did.
So no boxing or tug of war or anything, football?
No, never interested me all that.
Now, when did you go to India? Because you were posted out to the battalion in India, weren't you? The regular battalion.
Yeah, that was December 1933.
So you'd only been with them in Devonport about 4 months?
That's all, yeah. The training period.
Were you posted? You were posted out as a draft, were you?
Well, you were those days. You see, as say 20 men finished their time in India, they sent them over to England, And yeah.
So that was out to join the 1st Battalion, was it?
That's right. That's right. They were then at Plymouth. Stationed at Plymouth.
So that was the 1st Battalion in India. Do you remember much about the journey out with the draft? You'd go on a troop ship, wouldn't you?
I guess that was bloody always on a troop ship called the... Yeah, it was the Nevassa.
The Nevassa?
Nevassa. N-E-V-A-S-S-A, Nevassa.
And what was it like?
A 7,000-ton troop ship.
And what were conditions like for you soldiers aboard?
Bloody awful.
In what way?
I remember.
Were you seasick?
Yes, everybody was, even the cat. Ship's cat was even seasick on it. Yeah.
And was it cramped aboard ship?
It was indeed.
Now, where were the 1st Battalion in India when you joined them?
A place called Sialkot. S-I-S-I-S-I-A-L. Sialkot.
K-O-T.
C-O-A-T.
And what were your first impressions of India?
Well, I should say bloody awful. It was... The heat was more or less unbearable, but 137 in the shade. It never got below 90, even at night, 90 degrees.
How did you put up with that?
We got used to it.
Did you have to watch out for sunstroke, or...?
Yeah, you were not allowed to go outside... in the sun till after 12 o'clock every day.
What was your accommodation like? Were you in barrack huts at Sialkot?
Yeah, barracks there, yeah. They held about 40 men on these iron folding beds.
Would you have Indian servants?
You did as such, in which you had to pay fourpence a day. They used to shave you in the morning and clean your boots.
And what sort of training work were you doing while you were at Sialkot?
Well, all infantry training.
Just the same as in England?
Yeah.
But not in the afternoon, not when the heat was up?
That's right.
Do you have any stories that would give us an idea of what life was like in India?
Well, I know we used to get up at 6 every morning.
And then what?
Well, you then used to parade. I know you used to do 20-minute gyms every morning. And that's about much.
Right.
One had to do guards.
What were they like?
They were 2 hours on and 4 hours off.
Did they have a stick system?
Had they what?
Stick system, you know, where the smartest
Yeah. And I'm sorry to say, I was always a stick man. I never, in all my years out there, ever done a guard. Because I was always a stick man.
How did you get your uniform so smart then? What were the secrets?
Well, you had what I call a dirty, an Indian tailor, and you used to take to him, and depends how much money you give him, how smart you made the jacket look. Yeah.
So you paid a fair bit?
Yeah.
Now, after a while, you moved to Dhaka, I think, next.
We're the Decca, that's in Bengal, yeah.
What was that like?
Well, all the huts were on stilts, wooden huts, and they were built on sticks. And it never really seemed to stop raining out there. Decca, Bengal. You get the monsoons from across the bay, and not a very, very good station at all. No, Decca.
Do you remember the earthquake there?
Yes, I do.
What can you tell us about that? That was in January 15th, 1934.
That's right. I was just sat on my bed when the earthquake came, and it almost shook you off the bed, and I don't know much more about it.
Did the barracks, the barracks were on stilts, did they collapse?
No. No, they didn't collapse.
Do you remember going on flag marches, showing the flag?
Yeah.
What can you tell us what one was like, a typical one?
Well, the main thing was that you marched everywhere over rough ground. In the heat then was about 37 degrees in the shade.
What was the point of showing the flag marches?
I don't really know. Only the fact that to warn the Indians that you was there, and if there's any trouble, you'd be thereabouts.
You'd go around the villages. How would the villages respond when you arrived on a flag march?
Oh, they were quite docile, easy to get on with.
Now, October 25th, 1934, you moved to Jhansi, I think.
Yeah, that's in the area.
What was that like?
That was hot, a very, very hot station. Used to go on marches there in the heat as well. That was just to get you used to it all.
Any other memories of Jhansi? There's a lot. Would you enter in the rifle shooting competitions? There seemed to have been quite a lot in India.
Yeah, there was.
Were you in the shooting team?
Yes, I was always in the shooting team.
What would a typical shoot be like? How did they organise it? You know, a competition.
I know you all stood behind the butts and you're in teams of, I think, six at a time. He used to go up there and fire. Yeah.
And would it be at different distances and different types of target, or was it just the normal targets?
It'd be the normal targets that you use today, even here.
And would you normally, did you do well in the competitions?
Yes, I was always up the front.
Now, the next thing that really happens is when you were sent up into Waziristan in March 37.
In the northwest frontier of India, yeah.
Now, what do you remember about that? You were going on the way up to Damdil.
Ah, that was on the northwest frontier. Before we get to there, we went up to a place called Dasali. No, a place called Banu, and from Banu you marched 90 miles into the frontier.
What was that march like?
It was 90 miles and it was bloody cruel. It was about 37 degrees in the sun, and you marched 90 bloody miles without a drink of water. You mustn't have a drink of water until the third halt.
Why not?
Because it used to cause your stomach cramp and used to fold up. You weren't allowed to drink till after the third halt. Then you just wet your lips and spit it out, and carried on.
On a march like that, wouldn't prickly heat be a problem and things like that?
No, not doing it. You got that at night time when the sun went down, that prickly heat, yeah.
What was it like?
They just kind of itched all the while, like thousands of pinpricks coming into you. That was awful.
So you were on this march?
Yeah.
What happened next?
Well, that night the battalion was panned out up in the hills, and you sat there all day and all night. And like you feathered, as you marched up there, you feathered out like a feather, with section here, there, and everywhere. And then night time came.
Is this on the? These would be the pickets covering the road from Damdill to Desali, would it be?
That's right. Yeah, that's 8 miles. We used.
Do you know the name of yours? Because they've got some names here, like Casadar Post, Weedon, Waterloo Hill, Sanger Hill. Do you know the name of your post? Or would you always get the same one?
No, you never always got the same one, no.
What were the posts like? Can you describe what they looked like?
Well, all it was a dried stone wall, 4 foot dry stone wall, on top of one another, and there you were till you was relieved all day and all night. You just didn't desert your post.
So you just sit there?
The tribesmen used to attack you at night.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So what would happen?
Well, for example, that was a wall, dry wall, about 4'6". And the other side was barbed wire, called apron wire, dennet wire. And they'd come up there at night when it got dark, and they'd throw the body on this barbed wire, and the others would run up the back onto the bloody wall and put a bloody dagger in it or whatever they had. Yeah.
So what did you do? Did you open fire?
Oh, yes, if that is close enough. You had your bayonet fixed all the while.
Did you suffer many casualties? I see there's a couple, but...
Not that I can remember up there, we didn't suffer a lot. Only casualty I remember is one fellow was cleaning the brain gun, right down here, another room up above there, and he hit the butt on the ground and it went off, and there's 4 bullets went in this bloke who was upstairs and killed him stone bloody dead. I remember him. It wasn't a very nice place to be in.
So you'd be on this picket, you'd go up in the evening, then you'd be on this picket duty all night.
That's right.
And then when would you come down, next day or...?
He'd come down the next day.
And what you were staying, where were you, in Damdill Camp?
Damdill Camp, yeah.
And what was that like?
Well, nothing much. It was all open, hilly, you know, semi-hilly. And it was bloody hot, I know, morning, noon and night. It was really hot up there.
You were in tents, were you?
Yeah. And not as such. We had what was called an EPIP tent, and all they used to was use the top flap that came over, and you dug in down below in the tent. You dug about 4 foot down. Yeah.
So you had cover.
You had cover such over you, and then you had to dig 4 foot down, and you, I'll tell you that is the area where the tent is, but you dug down here 4 foot by 3 foot here, and when you slept in layers. And if the tribe was apart from this side, they used to hit the mud wall here, and vice versa. So these walls were protective, and they stopped the bullets that they fired at you.
Did they fire into the camp a lot?
Yes, if they got onto the hills. Hills surrounded these.
Anything else about your time in that Damdil area, Damdil to Dasali? Any other duties or things that happened, do you remember?
I got a ricochet in the leg here.